When we talk about the Holy Spirit, let me just let me be comical a minute. Where I come from in South Carolina, I was raised there my entire life. A lot of people don't know. I think a lot of people back in the Southeast, which is the Bible Belt. When I say Bible Belt, back where I come from, there's more Christians than there are people. Okay? Very, very different culture. Church culture is very thick where I come from. Very thick. Okay? Some of those songs you went back to tonight, I heard you say, when you throw back, I was waiting to see if everybody knew what it was. Because I can sing all of them. I can start backwards and sing forward. I've heard them all. And I have seen a whole lot of stuff crazy, and it gets blamed on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has become the guy nobody wants in the church. Because everything crazy gets blamed on him. And so I've seen some people do some ridiculous stuff and call it the Holy Spirit. So I spent the first 20 years of my life scared to death of this guy named the Holy Spirit, because I didn't want him to make me make a fool out of myself. I have seen people run into walls back and forth and just do it for an hour. And they would look at me and say, yeah, that's the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, the Holy Ghost makes you beat your head in walls? I'm like, you know, I remember a gentleman that used, when we would have altar calls, he would take a big, have y'all ever seen a family Bible? You ever seen, well, they sit on a coffee table, they weigh about 60 pounds, and nobody reads them. And I remember going to what they used to call camp meeting meetings. I don't know if you remember, they had sawdust floor, middle of July, 100% humidity in South Carolina, and they would have them in July. Why do you have them in July? You know, and they would be there, it'd be so hot, everybody had a funeral home fan. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Everybody had a funeral home fan. And I remember this one man, if you came down to the altar, he would get on one side of the building and close his eyes and start shaking his head, and he had a family 60-pound Bible under his arm. And whenever he stopped, whoever he looked at, he'd take that Bible and wham, just hit you right in the back of the head. So after about 3 or 4 years, if I went to the altar, if I looked out the corner of my eye and saw him coming, I'd just go ahead and fall on out. I've seen people walk back to the pews. I remember one time I was in a meeting, and it got so high in the Spirit of God. I remember one man, this is not a lie, I'm not exaggerating, he ran about 3 laps around this big church, and I could tell he was getting tired that last. The Holy Ghost left him that last lap. He was on his own. He started getting tired about halfway around that last lap. So he ran out the back door. About 10 minutes later, he came walking in drinking a Sprite. And everybody point at it and say, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to hang with Jesus. Holy Ghost makes you do all that. Now, there's a problem, because the Bible said that there's three that testify. There's the Father, there's the Word. The Word is Jesus, but Jesus is his earthly name. It's not his eternal name. His eternal name is Word. There's the Father, there's the Word, and there's the Spirit. Now, we know that for 33 and a half years, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus. But we've got the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, all right? So we know that we call him Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So we say we just want Jesus in our church. We just want to talk about Jesus. Well, his name is Jesus Christ. It's not just Jesus. And Christ is not his last name. Christ describes his function. The word Christ is Christos. It means anointed or anointed one. And what that means is Jesus who is anointed. Anointed of what? Anointed has to do with the residency of the Holy Spirit. So when you say someone is anointed, what are you saying? That I sense the Holy Spirit on their life. I sense the Holy Spirit living. So Ron Carpenter is only anointed if the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of him. I know anointing is a church word, but the anointing really means that it's somebody who is full of the Spirit. So Jesus was Jesus the Christ. He was Jesus, a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. The man Jesus came, died, and rose again and went back to heaven. Christ never left the earth. Christ never left the earth. The only one of the Godhead that is still in the earth is the Holy Spirit. He's the only one we don't want to let in church. The Father is in heaven and Jesus is at his right hand, and the Christ is still in the earth trying to find another body. That's why we're called the body of Christ. The word Christ means anointing. We are the body of the anointing. So in other words, there is supposed to be powerful things that happen when we get together. Because I'm not for all of the anointing and you're not all of the anointing. But when all of us get together, we become the body of the anointing. Come on. And there's things that can happen when we get together that cannot happen when we are by ourselves. I dare you to tell three people, I'm better when I'm with you. God, I'm more powerful when I'm with you. I can do things around you I can't do by myself. Somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Jesus. I like this place. Something's going to happen in here before we leave tonight. Can I keep going? All right. I need somebody to help me out here just a little bit. Let me have you help. I'll tell you what, you help me out right here. I met you when I came in, so I know you a little bit more than about. Short illustration here. Now, y'all going to give me time to break this down? Y'all done got me all the way up here, so let me get it all out, all right? Now, the Bible says, Colossians 3, 1 through 3, go fact check me later, or you can Google it now. Colossians 3, 1 through 3, that I have died, the old Ron has died, and my life is hidden with God in Christ, in the anointing, in the residency of the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of him. That is where his life is hidden. His life is hidden with God in his anointing. In other words, the day he got saved, the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in him. He was born of the Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows who he really is. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can introduce you to you. The you before all that happened. The you before the divorce. The you before the molestation. The you before the abuse. Come on, somebody. The you before the trauma. The you before all that stuff got in your head that you can't forget. The Holy Spirit knows. Why? Because he knows who you are before the foundations of the world. So there was a you that existed before you got here. And you existed in the mind of God in heaven. And the Holy Spirit knows who you are. And your life is hidden with God in Christ. Now, 1 John 2:20, fact check me on that. The Bible says you have an anointing and you know all things. Not in your head, in your anointing. So my life is hidden in my anointing, and in my anointing I know all things. The problem is my mind is trying to catch up with who my spirit knows I already am. Can I preach right here just a minute? Can I go? I'm chasing a rabbit, but let me chase it, okay? So, my spirit knows who I am, but my mind is not renewed. So, my mind knows who I was, but my spirit knows who I am. And they're in conflict one with another. And the Bible says, renew your mind that you may be able to prove what is that good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. The word prove means allow. So, in other words, your spirit cannot get out unless your mind can think it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is as a state of being verb, think as an action verb. I will arrive at whatever I think. So there are some people that you're mightily anointed, but you don't think you are, so you never experience it. What if you've been anointed to be wealthy, but you live in poverty? What if you've been anointed to be strong, but you live in sickness? What if you've been anointed to be victorious, but you live like a victim? See, you don't arrive at where your anointing is. You arrive at where you think. And what I came to ask this church tonight is not, are you anointed, but can you think on the level of your anointing? Because when you can begin to think up here, what he is right here, oh my, watch out. Because then, out of the heart flow the issues of life. I'm here to tell somebody your mind is about to be renewed and recreated because God is ready for the real you to come from the inside out. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to give God a praise in this place. Somebody shout amen. Tell your neighbor, say, you're about to see the real me. You're about to see the real me. Excuse me. Woo! So right here, there's a difference between when you were created and when you were made. You were created in Christ Jesus, the anointing, Jesus, Christ. You were created in the anointing. Before God said, let there be light. The word created means to come from nothing. Then the Bible said that God made Adam a body. It means take from one thing and make it into something else. You existed long before you got here. This is not you. This is a house the real you lives in. We spend all of our time on our house and we forget about the real us. Come on now. Some of us, we got a big house. Some of us got a small house. Some of us a tall house. Some of us got a short house. Some of us a dark house. Some of us got a white house. Some of us got a brown house, a black house. And my wife's a brick house. I don't know what kind of house y'all got. We got all kind of house. You heard me throw that in today? Yes, sir. Scored points right up in there. Just worked it in right in the middle of the sermon. Hallelujah. This is just a house. Me. This is what houses me during my time on earth. This isn't the real me. I was created in the anointing in Christ before the foundations of the earth were ever laid. So now let me show you a principle. And I'm going to start moving this teaching forward. My life is already in me. Colossians 3 and 1 John 2:20. Sorry. My spirit, my anointing knows everything about Ron Carpenter, past, present, and future. Okay? No eye has seen. No ear has heard. Your friends can't tell you who you are. But the Spirit has revealed unto us. Only the Holy Spirit knows who you are. So I cannot reject him in my life. It wasn't about just being saved. Jesus wanted to clean you from sin so that the kingdom could come. You know what the kingdom is? The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is the same Holy Spirit that raised from Jesus from the dead coming and living in your mortal body. Jesus came and got the sin out of you so that the Spirit who is holy can come. Have I lost y'all? Y'all still here? He's a Holy Spirit, so Jesus had to get the sin out. So now the Holy Spirit can, now the kingdom is within you. There is the power within you to walk and operate just as Jesus did when he was in the world. Problem is, we don't think like Jesus. We don't have the mind of the anointing, the mind of Christ. Bible says we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. That means the mind of the anointing. Can you match up here what you have right here? When you get the mind of the anointing, then you'll do what you're anointed to do. But while your mind remembers the old and your spirit's trying to reveal to you a future and you're living in the conflict between the two. So what is happening every time you come in this building? You're supposed to be letting your mind catch up with who you already are. Give me a little bit. Give me some love. I need some love. Y'all hear what I'm talking about over here? Yeah. They didn't do too good. Let me see if y'all can do better. Y'all. Okay, I'm going to give y'all another chance in a minute. I preach to the love. Wherever the love is, I just preach to the love. Okay. Can I keep breaking it down? I'm feeling this thing. This ain't a normal conference message for me. So I'm on assignment tonight. Okay. So, whenever God wants something, he doesn't speak to what he wants. Hear me now. He speaks to what holds it and tells what holds it to turn it loose. God did not say, let there be corn and beans and tomatoes and cucumbers and potatoes. The Bible said, let the earth bring forth. In other words, all the potential for food was already in the ground. He told the ground, turn loose of your potential. God didn't say, let there be halibut and sea bass and catfish. He said, let the waters bring forth, because all the potential for fish was already in the water. So he told the water, turn loose what's already in you. He didn't say, let there be Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, and Jupiter. He said, let the heavens bring forth. So there was already potential for the stars and the moons in heaven. And he told the heaven, turn loose what I've already put in you. Come on. When God created man, he turned in the mirror and looked at himself and said, let us. And man was God's potential, and God turned me loose, and God turned you loose. You didn't come from your mama and daddy. You came from God. You came from God. Tell your neighbor, say, do you have any idea who you're sitting beside? Oh, do you know who you are sitting beside? I didn't come from Sacramento. I didn't come from the Silicon Valley. I came from God Almighty himself. Yeah. Woo! How far? Three people say, he's preaching now. He's preaching now. He's preaching now. Hallelujah. So God tells the thing that holds it, let it go. So when God speaks to your spirit, why does he speak to your spirit? Because everything you are and can be is already in you. So he speaks to your spirit and tells your spirit, turn him loose. When we pray for something from God, we think it's external. It comes from the outside in. What God's going to do for you is not coming from the outside in. God's going to get inside of you and push something out. Because everything you are ever meant to be is already in there. So God's got to get in there and take what is really you and push it from the inside. Push out. Pastor, am I doing all right? All right, have I earned a salad? At least a salad. I got to have a... Okay, I hadn't had nothing to eat. I don't want no salad. Something got to die tonight. Something got to die. I know y'all vegan a lot out here, but something got to die that I may live. I want to eat something that flies. Yeah. So anyway, I forgot what I was saying. What was I talking about? I got talking about chicken. You can't talk about chicken around pastors. Oh, yeah, turn it loose. Turn it loose. Hallelujah. So, we speak the wisdom among those who are mature, not of this age, but we speak the wisdom of God and hidden mystery. No eyes seen, no ears heard, nor has it ever entered to the heart of man, things God has prepared for those that love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know why, but God hides things. Go through your Bible. It's a pattern. God kills Moses and goes and hides his bones. God talks about the person that dwells in the secret place. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, when you go pray in secret. Don't let nobody know what you're saying. And said, and God will reward openly what you prayed privately. The Bible calls the kingdom a mystery. The Bible says we speak mysteries. The Bible calls marriage a mystery. You already knew that. Bible calls our relationship with Christ a mystery. Secrets, hidden. The Bible says that the kingdom is hidden. Mark chapter 4, Jesus spent all day teaching about the kingdom, but he talked about it in parables. And the disciples said, why is it when you get in front of all them people, you talk in code? You get around us, you talk plain. You get in front of all them people, you start telling stories. And Jesus said, for you, it's been given to know. He said, I don't want them to know. Because the kingdom is not what he's saying. It's the thing he's saying behind what he's saying. It's not about wheat and tares. It's about something else. It's not about a mustard seed. It's about something else. It's not about sheep and goats. It's about something else. It's not about a lost coin. It's about something else. And the kingdom is not for the people who see the coin and the mustard seed and the wheat and the it's for the people who see what's behind the curtain. So he said, the people that seek me out, that's why you have to seek first the kingdom. God will not give the kingdom to the casual. He gives the kingdom to the seeker. And so he hides it because you got to seek to find it. You cannot be a casual Christian and get the kingdom. So those of you that want to be on the fringe with God, you'll be saved, but you'll never get the kingdom. Because you got to seek first, you got to give the kingdom first priority before you have it. But when you have it, all these things will be added unto you. The more you get the kingdom, the less you'll ever pray about stuff. You get the kingdom, you won't pray about things no more. Why? Because all the things come with the kingdom. I'm going to go buy my own DVD tonight. I'm preaching myself happy. I'm going right back to back and buy my own DVD. The reason we've got to understand the Holy Spirit is this principle right here. Pastor, am I doing all right? Can I keep going? Okay. Not sure what time it is. My bracelet won't tell me what time it is, so I'm losing track. God is not going through time with you. You say, well, I know that. You know it cognitively, but listen to yourself pray. When you pray, you act like you're filling God in on information he don't have. Lord, you know what they're doing for me? No, tell me. What they're doing? Lord, do you know how I'm feeling right now? Don't have a clue. I'm glad you left filling me in. I'm just God. I don't know. When we pray, we talk to God as though God has a past, he's in the present, and the future as much as a mystery to him as it is to us. And you've got to understand, God is not walking through time with you. God is not in time. Time is inside of God. In the beginning, God. When God got ready to create time, he looked at it and said, you're late. In the beginning, what? God was already there. In the beginning, God. So when the beginning started, God had been at the beginning a long time. Okay? God is forever in a state of I am. God doesn't have a past. God doesn't have a future. God's not getting old. God doesn't learn. God doesn't learn because there's nothing he's ever forgotten. He don't learn because there's not anything he don't know. God don't grow. God don't increase. Okay, do you see what I'm talking about? God, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Because God never had a lapse in his memory. So you have a past, a present, and you have a tomorrow. God does not. Because all of that is inside of God. God is Alpha, Omega, author, finisher, beginning, and end at same time. He's the beginning of a thing and the end of the thing while he's I am. So we look at life as I got this, I am this, don't have a clue about this. And we talk to God out of that. And God, the Bible says, Isaiah 46:10, he said, I am the Lord thy God, and there is none like me. And then he tells why he's different than every other being in the universe. He says, knowing the end from the beginning. He said, I am God. There's no one like me. Because I am the only being that knows the end of a thing before he started. And you think God is going through life writing chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 of your life. What you don't understand is God has already finished your book. And God has already finished chapter 12, the last chapter of the book. And what does he do? All things work together for the good of those that love. He's going back in your life and making sure chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 end up in chapter 12. You got to understand, there ain't nothing God's going to mess up. The good, the bad, the ugly, what they did right, what they did wrong, who stayed with you, who left, it's all going to work into 12. Because there is none like your God. Your God wrote the last chapter before he wrote the first chapter. Somebody shout hallelujah. I got to keep going. I gotta go. This is good. He knows the end from the beginning. Okay? He knows the end from the beginning. He has put eternity in their hearts, Ecclesiastes 3. Except that no one can find out what God does from the end and the beginning. That's what Solomon wrote. Solomon's the wisest man that ever lived. He said, God puts eternity right here. He said, but no one knows what God does between the beginning and the end. He says, but to God, what has been, and what is to be, has been. Your tomorrow is in God's rearview mirror. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything to God is past. Notice how God speaks to you in the Word. God comes up, somebody says, they say you're Simon, I say you're Peter. He just comes right up and tells him his end. Change his name. The word Simon means reed, shaky. He comes up and says, your name is Petra, rock. And everybody around him says, sure. Yeah. See, that's what people do. They remind you of who you were. Jesus comes and says who you are. He says, right now you become any environment that you get in. He said, but I'm going to make a rock out of you. He said, you haven't met yourself yet. I'm going to introduce you to you. He comes up to Jacob. The word Jacob means trick. He deceived his brother out of his birthright. He said, thou art Israel. The word Israel means prince. He said, you're not a trick, you're a prince. He said, you just don't know it yet. He goes up to Gideon. Gideon is hiding behind a wine press. And God says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. God comes and immediately speaks to your end. Immediately. Go to Romans chapter 8. Those he predestined, those he foreknew, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. God's speaking to you, and all of it's in past tense. With you, everything's finished in heaven. But in time. So do you know what's happening? Jesus said, it's finished. Everything I've created you to be, I died, paid the price for it. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is already yours. It is finished. I'm sitting down. And now I'm here in time. And in time, I am slowly becoming what I already am. You already are that. The Word's just trying to help you figure it out in your mind. Okay, I lost you right there. Stay with me. It is finished. Pray that it come on earth as it is in. It already is in. Pray that it would happen on. Pray that what is finished in eternity would happen in time. How do we pray? Pray like this. Pray, my kingdom come and my will be done on earth, that it will be done in time as it already is finished in heaven. So you got to understand, with God, what has yet to be is in the past and what has already been is in the past. But you're still trying to figure it out. How do I secure my future? I'm going to start landing this plane now. Who knows a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? And who knows God except the spirit of God? Just read it to you. Who knows a man? When I pulled him up here, what did I say? Your life is hidden with God in Christ. You have an anointing and you know all things. And then he says, who knows a man except his spirit? And who knows God except the spirit of God? So I learn from the Holy Spirit out of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. He's the inquisitive one. So he's the one that gets in the mind of God and discovers everything that's in the mind of the Father. So you were Pastor, what was your name again? Damien. Pastor Damien comes to the altar, gets saved, accepts Christ. The Bible says when we accept Christ, we're born of water and the Spirit. We get baptized, and then our spirit man comes back alive. Okay? Now, who knows, Pastor, except the Spirit of God which is in him? So the Holy Spirit gets in the mind of the Father and tours Pastor Damien's life. And then comes out of eternity and into time, and he's put eternity in his heart. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will be your guide. He'll be your guide. I made the awful mistake of right after we moved here, taking my family to Disney World this year. Y'all don't get that. Okay, amen. So it's 102 degrees. All the babies and grandbabies are crying. There's popsicle on my leg. There's candy apple in my hair. There's nasty dried milk on my neck, and everybody's unhappy, and you're so sweaty that your babies are slipping out of your arms, and you're thinking, I paid $1,000 to be here. Been to the one in Florida, but this was a new experience for me. Massive place. I don't want somebody to be my guide who's never took a tour of the park. How are you going to guide me through Disneyland if you hadn't ever toured it yourself? So if you're going to guide me on the tour, you have to be well acquainted with it and have reviewed it many times. The Holy Spirit has gotten in the mind of God, and now eternity lives in your heart. And who knows a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? And you have an anointing and you know all things, and your life is hidden with God in the anointing. I don't know how to put together any more verses to show you that God sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, because he's the only one that knows your future. The problem is the Holy Spirit is secretive. And there's secret places and mysteries, and the kingdom's a secret and everything's hidden. And now I go to 1 Corinthians 2 and he says, we speak the hidden wisdom of God. What? What does that mean? Did you ever go to that church and everybody was wildly speaking in tongues? Okay, I didn't hear a lot of yes, but I heard a few. And I'm sitting there and I'm 13 and I'm on the back row and everybody in there is talking gibberish, and I have no idea what's going on in the room. But they say it's the Holy Ghost. The only problem was that was authentic. But because he got blamed with all the other stuff, I canceled that out. And now I go around America, and last year I did something. I did an altar call at the same church everywhere I went to. I said, if you're frustrated, I want you to come up here. I didn't have room. Everybody. I mean, they were across the front, 15 deep, down the aisles, hanging out at the door. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to the church. And everybody in the church is frustrated. Why? Because your spirit knows who you really are. And something's telling you that you're not living it. And that voice is not. You're not going to get it to shut up. I don't care what you drink, what pill you take, where you go, what atmosphere you get in, or who you invite in your life. That feeling's not going away because the Holy Spirit is inside of you screaming, "This ain't you. I know who you are. I know who you are. Get out of this building. Get away from them people. I know who you are." Oh, I feel the Spirit of God right now in this place. And I call it divine frustration. We think frustration is demonic. I believe it's God. Because I'm heading in one direction, all of a sudden, destiny starts beating in my heart, saying, that's not. And when there are things that aren't happening around me and something inside telling me it's supposed to be happening, and I'm frustrated, that ain't demonic. That's God saying, "I will not let you settle here because you're full of purpose. You're full of potential. You're full of purpose. You're full of future. And I'm not going to let you settle for less than what I create. I died for you to be great, and I'm not going to let you settle in right here. I'm going to make you miserable if I have to. I'm going to let destiny beat in your heart, but I will not shut up. I will not stop speaking, and I will not let you go." So, I speak wisdom, hidden wisdom, in a mystery. So, it's got to come out of my mouth because the power of life is in the tongue. So, there's something that I've got to give life to, but it's hidden. I got to say it. It's not going to have life till I say it. Whatever you speak to lives. Whatever you quit talking to dies. Because life is in the tongue. You keep talking in your marriage will live. You quit communicating, it dies. Whatever you talk to lives. Whatever, if you keep talking to your past, it will be alive. Start talking to your future. Whatever you talk to lives. Whatever you quit talking to dies. I got an Easter message I preached one time called "Mama, Go Home." That's interesting, "Mama, Go Home." Mary was at the foot of the cross. Jesus was hanging on the cross, and she's crying, and she's wooing him back to life, and it's my baby, and my baby's dying, and don't leave me. I raised you. Don't go from me, Jesus. Don't go. And she saw her baby that she raised up from a manger, and now he's bleeding down the cross. She's at the foot of the cross dying, and finally Jesus looks at John and says, "John, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son." Do you know what Jesus is saying? "John, get her out of here. Because as long as she's talking to me, I can't die. Mama, go home and let me do what I'm supposed to do. Because there's so much power in your voice, I can't die. So mama, go home." So there's something hidden and I got to speak it. That's a problem. I got to say it for it to have life, but I don't know what it is. But it's God's wisdom. No eye has seen, no ears heard. It's never been in the heart of a person, so nobody else can tell me what it is. It's only revealed by the Spirit because only the Spirit knows who I really am. So one day I turn over a few pages and I read this scripture right here. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. Are you ready? "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." I don't want that Holy Spirit, man. He makes you do dumb things. He makes people make a fool out of himself. Let's just let Jesus in here. Jesus saves you, but Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And what my wife just said, he's done. The work of the Holy Spirit is not finished. The work of Jesus is finished. The work of the Holy Spirit begins the moment you start releasing hidden wisdom in a mystery. God knew that your mind didn't know tomorrow, so he sent you a Holy Spirit that does. But what's in you can't manifest until it's spoken. So God puts your secret future and your secret life and hides it away in a secret place and gives you a secret language to release secret information to manifest hidden things that... Are you getting the picture yet? It took me 50 minutes to preach you here. Are you getting the picture yet? Holy Spirit didn't come into the earth to make us foolish. He's the only one that knows your future. He's the only one. So when I come at those destiny decisions, and you don't have destiny decisions every Thursday. I'm not talking about what color to wear. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about where to go for lunch. Destiny decisions. Do I uproot my family, my mom, my kids, my grandkids, my kid who's a senior in college and moved 2,882 miles across the nation? You better have a Holy Ghost. Because I'm not just altering my life, I'm altering the life of everybody my kids will meet, who my grandkids will marry. I'm altering everything. I better have a Holy Ghost. So when I don't know what to do, I go off by myself. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. Because in the Spirit, I'm uttering mysteries. Oh God, I don't know what to do, but I know the Holy Spirit knows. So I'm asking you, Lord, to speak it out of my mouth. Does anybody know what I'm talking about in this place? It's not about being foolish. It's not about acting stupid. It's about releasing out of your mouth power to create your tomorrow. Somebody just give God 15 seconds of praise and let God know you're thankful that he's got you. Hey, somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Yes. Yes! 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 Woo! Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm done. You got this little book right before Revelation. Yeah, go ahead and help me. Called Jude. So small, it don't even have chapters. It's just verses. And Jude verse 20 says, brethren, building yourself up in the most holy faith. Most holy faith. Most people emphasize the next part of that verse. I'm going to emphasize the first part. The most holy faith. There's faith. There's more faith or better faith than there's most. You can't increase on most. I see that house right there and I'm having faith for that house. Okay, that's faith. But he says, build yourself up in the most holy. In other words, there is a pinnacle of faith that is the highest level of faith you can reach. And then he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you're praying to a God you can't see, in a language you don't understand, about information you have no knowledge of, that is the most holy. You don't get any more holy than that. You are going into that thing blind as a bat, in total and complete trust. total and complete trust. I'm very concerned at a generation that don't know and understand the Holy Spirit, so they keep him at the door. And they make him an occasional visitor at best. The Holy Spirit is not a sermon that you preach at a conference. He's my comforter. He's my friend. He's the wisdom of God. He teaches me languages. He knows my future. He's my tour guide. How can I keep him at the door? He's not a service that I preach. He's a life that I live. He's a life that I live. Have I missed some? Oh, yeah. Have I got it wrong? Oh, yeah. But I think I can look at you and say I got it right more times than I got it wrong. Why? Because when I really gave it over to the Holy Ghost, and when I really got off by myself in my secret place and began to pray in my secret language and began to speak the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the ages for my glory, he took me into things he had already prepared. Was last year transitional? Was it a challenge? Yes. But can I tell you something? I braced for all kind of drama. And none of it happened. Because long before I ever started the transition, I was a rebel scared. What happened? And my tour guide started taking me right into the steps that he had ordained for me. For the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. You don't pray and God get up and do something for you. You pray and God takes you into what he's already done. I want to hear somebody say, it's finished. It's finished. It's already finished. Gets all jacked up and I don't know how to fix it. I just pray in the spirit. Somehow God begins taking that ball of yarn and unraveling it. And somehow it looks like I got thrown over here, but God wanted me to be over here. And then I start praying in the spirit. Somehow I just end up falling right in the place that I'm supposed to fall in. Why? Because when a man speaks in a tongue, he don't speak to men. He speaks to God. And in his spirit, he's uttering mysteries. I asked pastor's permission to preach this because I have to be honest with you. This is a sad commentary. But I would go to a lot of churches and preach this tonight and not be asked back. Because I would wreck what they're trying to accomplish, which is a lifeless service engineered out of the mind of men, but where clouds with no water and a form of godliness with no power. And Paul warned in the last days, we're going to look like church, smell like church, act like church, but we're going to be clouds with no water, and we're going to be forms of godliness, but when you get down to the core, there's no power there. Paul warned about it. And I'm living in a generation where we got the lights, we got the smoke, come on, we got the lasers, we got the sound, we got everything, and the Holy Spirit's knocking on the door begging to be involved in the service. I know the hour's getting a little late, but this is a special service, and I won't take too much liberty. If you just would be honest with yourself and say, I spend too much time being frustrated. And I spend too much time feeling like nobody's steering the wheel of my life. I feel like I'm just kind of tripping through life. Stumbling. mistake to mistake, person to person, failure to failure. And what you said tonight sounds so good. You mean there's really somebody in charge? There's a plan? Yeah, there is. But you got to have this Holy Spirit to execute the plan. Cannot be done without it. If you're in here and there's only 20 of you, or if there's 200 of you, I really don't care. But if you say, I've got to know the Holy Spirit like what you were talking about tonight, I want to take a few minutes, and would you come up here and just stand with me these last few minutes in this altar? Come on. If one person will do it, I guarantee you 30 or 40 people will jump up. Come up here and stand up here with me. I want you to celebrate these that are coming down this aisle right now. Come on. Celebrate these that are coming down this aisle right now. Wow, look around. Just look around at what's happening in this building right now. Come on a little bit closer. I ain't gonna do nothing to y'all. I promise. Come on up here. So you say, that man's crazy. I'm not sure how close I want to get. I'm not crazy. Play something real soft. Now I'm gonna do some explaining right here. Please remember, we do need a time where we give to God after this, but this ain't going to take long. So here comes that part now where you've heard about it. You say, now I want it. He's done made me hungry. I want to know God like he's talking about. Okay. I came to probably, I'm not exaggerating, 50 of these altar calls. And went home so disappointed. And I thought, then I started thinking something wrong with me. And I had one person at a youth camp tell me something, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit in 10 seconds. And now every time I preach this, I tell this. I kept going down to the altar, and I was waiting for this movie cinematic experience where this being from outer space was going to transcend and overtake my body, and I was not going to know who I was for 30 seconds, and then after that I was going to come to and everybody's going to tell me what I did. The Holy Spirit does nothing without your cooperation. Nothing. Acts chapter 2, Jesus has gone back to heaven. He said, go wait in Jerusalem till I send the gift. And in the upper room, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says, and they spake in tongues as God gave the utterance. The Holy Ghost does not speak in tongues. You do. The Holy Spirit gives the utterance. All the Holy Spirit does is bring to your mind unintelligible words. You're not supposed to. Well, I don't know what that is. You're not supposed to know. It's a mystery. I spent an hour talking about mysteries. You're not supposed to understand it. It's not supposed to make sense. Your neighbor is not supposed to understand it because you're not speaking to men. God is giving you a language where you speak directly to him. And no one can decipher it unless there's an interpreter. This is a precious gift. This is how I lead my life. This ain't a sermon tonight. I'm giving you my life. This is how I live. I knew to preach this tonight by praying in the Holy Spirit at the hotel before I came. I told my wife, I said, something different. I said, something different. Because I've got conference messages. I didn't know the Holy Spirit, God wanted me to teach on the Holy Spirit. That's not what I do when I travel. So even that came out of my prayer language. They spake in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. You are going to have to speak it, and you're going to have to give it a voice. Just like you got saved, what did you have to do? Confess with your mouth, and thou shalt be saved. You had to say something. I'm getting ready to pray and ask God to release his spirit in this room. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Your head's going to be filled with unintelligible sounds, and then there's going to be another voice. It's the voice of your enemy. He's going to say, you're making that up. You heard your grandmama do that. That ain't real. All that's going to come inside. You may tell you why you're hearing the voice of the enemy? Because he don't want you to know your future. And do you know who it's hidden from? It's hidden from him. Why does God lock your future up in a mysterious language? Because your enemy, it's the only language he can't decipher. So when you pray in the spirit, he's looking around at his demons saying, what they saying? What they saying? I don't know what they saying. I don't know how to set up a roadblock because I don't know what they saying. I don't know how to come against them because I don't know where they're going. You are confusing your enemy. That's the reason God hid it. He hid it from your enemy. It's a mystery to him, but God knows exactly what it is. So I'm just going to pray. Quit waiting for that bolt of lightning. This is gentle and precious and holy. You say, well, ain't he going to knock me in the ground or something? No, no, no. It's just when he brings it, you just open your mouth and begin to give it a voice. And you know what? Just like when you were a child in your natural language, syllables becomes words. Words become phrases. Phrases become sentences. Sentences become conversations. I could walk in this room tonight and pray in the Holy Ghost 2 hours. But I couldn't the night that I got filled, because it was a new language. So I'm believing right now. Don't you be inhibited. Pastor, I don't know. I know different churches do different things. Do you have any, like, altar workers? You have any care pastors? Or could we have some of the pastors in the room, staff members? I mean, Hope, you're real strong in this. Would you come up here and help me, baby doll? Would you come right through? You want to come from the... My wife works at an altar like none other. Like none other. Thank you, sweetheart. So any pastors we got, any staff members, any visiting pastors, let me tell you, we got a lot of people tonight. I just want you to go through, and I just want you to lay hands on them. Just lay hands on them and say, receive. Just say, receive. And when God brings it to you, you got to say it. You've got to give it a voice. You've got to speak it. Now, God, tonight, I have come. I've tried to obey you. This is an edify conference. There's nothing more edifying than being filled with the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I thank you that something in this room is about to happen. Is anybody out in the congregation seated that you've experienced this before? I would like for you to stand up and just put your hand out toward these. You know how important this is. If you've received the gift of the Spirit of God, I want you to be praying for them. I want you to raise it just a little bit, man. As soon as I say, in Jesus' name, just begin praying, okay? Father, I'm believing right now that you have spoken the word through me you want to speak. I'm believing that you have given understanding. They have come up and said, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So right now, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you, Lord, to sweep through this room tonight and fill your people with the precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, come on. Give it a voice. You got to speak it. Don't be inhibited. Don't be shy.